Lord, people being lost. And you just wonder, how can you get lost? Well, people who have wandered into the bushes or to a beautiful green area, and they start enjoying every bush, they start enjoying every tree, they start enjoying the warmth of the sun, and all of a sudden they realize that the sun is setting, and they have to go back home, return home, and they can't find their way back home. You have probably heard also people talk about lost objects, people, opportunities, innocence, and even lives. Daily, we hear on television and in the news, so-and-so lost his life trying to rescue someone or just because he wasn't careful enough. Lost his life. And you listens to them with great interest and concern. Very often we pay attention when someone is lost. As a matter of fact, you have seen, at least in our area here, on telephone poles and on trees and on walls, cat, my dog is lost. Or so-and-so, my daughter is lost. And everyone gets very interested, and they go out, and they stick flyers, and they talk to each other, and they put it on Facebook and whatever to find the lost. People in general are willing to listen and even try to help those who say they have lost someone or something. But most people are not interested or even care about spiritual conditions or losses. How often have you heard someone say, well, I'm very concerned about someone that is lost spiritually or emotionally. And there are more and more people lost in their thoughts, more and more nerves breakdowns and illnesses, mental illnesses, and all kinds of situations come up. And it seems that if doctors who claim to know everything, or at least most of the things, that they are lost, they are in a loss to help someone that feels lost. As a matter of fact, one, I don't know about you, but often I had dreams in the past that I was somewhere and I was lost. I didn't know how to go back home or what metro to take. In reality, it has never happened yet. But that was a dream. I would wake up and I say, Lord, thank you for my mind. Thank you for my mind. Because being lost is a terrible thing. But only the person that is going through it may really understand what this person, he or she, is going through. But those who know or are told that they are spiritually lost often do not get the help they need. And I have at least three letters here that I would like to read to you. Someone wrote, I'm spiritually lost and can't find my path and my inner peace. I'm spiritually lost. Now, you don't get too many letters or emails from people who say, I'm spiritually lost. But there are many who are spiritually confused and lost. Another person wrote, I want to find myself so badly and connect with God and the light again. Someone please help me. I am desperate to find myself and enjoy this short life we are given to the fullest, but I can't. This one writes, I am so lost. I want to believe in something, but what? I want to teach my children to be spiritually fulfilled. But how? I feel like I got duped with Christianity, this person says, and I am on guard toward anything else, like I don't want to choose the wrong one. A lost person may try on his own power to find the way and the purpose of his or her existence and the Creator in vain. Why am I talking about being lost? In the past few weeks, my wife and I have witnessed people who have either come to us or even talked over the phone or through by email, saying that they are very confused about their spirituality. They are very confused about churches. They are very confused about religions. People who we talked to lately, one young man said that he doesn't know really what religion is, the true religion. And I've traveled around the world many years ago. I went to countries where they worshipped idols. I went to countries who worshipped a living God, and yet it was the wrong God. I went to countries where they called themselves Christians, and yet they were as lost as those who worship idols. And you come to your country or wherever, here in Canada, and you look around to find sanity, spiritual sanity, and you don't find it because everyone has a mantra, and that mantra is all they care about. They just want to repeat what they've been told, and their eyes have been blinded to the truth, and they don't bother me with the Bible. I know what I want, and I have my own religion. And yet, when you start talking to them personally, and when you reach down in their heart, you'll realize, they will tell you, that they are actually confused. They don't know whether this religion or that religion or this doctrine or that doctrine or this church or this preacher or that preacher is the truth, preaching the truth. And yet I believe we who called ourselves Christians have one source of the truth, and that is the Bible. Neither my religion's background nor your religious background, nor my culture, nor your culture, neither the doctrine of one preacher or the doctrine of another preacher can fill that emptiness until the Word of God comes and the Lord comes and clears all this stuff that has been we've been feeding and removes it and fills it with His holy presence. I'm not here to preach a particular doctrine. I'm not here to talk about one particular church or religious group. I'm not here to argue an argument about doctrinal differences. All these will lead you astray. It will confuse you. Will confuse me. But when we start talking about the Creator, the Sustainer, and the Word of God, then we are talking about the truth. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." People have their own religions. People have their own theories. But the truth of the matter is the Creator. And this morning while I was just sitting in my office for a few minutes, I thought, who am I? Who am I for God to care for me? Jacques, who am I? I'm nobody. In the context of the universe of creation, we are nothing. And yet, we say that God loves us. And I said, why would God really love me? And why would really God care about me? And the thought, I believe God answers our questions very often, immediately. And I said, because the rest of the universe is a hostile place. They are, as far as we can see, there is no life. There is one little glow, one little rock, the earth, that God chose to put human beings who are made in His own image. And that is why He cares. You may believe it, you may reject it. Those who don't believe in creation, they reject it, and yet they are willing to worship and follow lies and theories that are baseless. But today the word lost is a lost word in many churches and among churchgoers. The word lost is lost. We don't talk about being lost. Preaching, teaching, and even talking about the lost is something that you hear that you don't hear lately. Preaching about pleasant and more popular subjects have priority. I mean, the pastors and the teachers and we as churches, we want to satisfy people. We want to make them feel good so they come back. We want to make them feel not guilty so they can follow our teaching or our doctrine. We just want to talk about prosperity. The gospel of prosperity is so popular these days. You see churches filled, 20,000, 30,000 people talking about how you can be prosperous. And yet we know people, rich people, famous people are so empty and so they don't have any peace and joy. Some kill themselves. Some use drugs to quench that thirst, and they can't. They are lost. It is as if the word lost is lost and no one wants to find. But this word lost keeps many lost. People need to know the consequences of sin, but no one talks about sin. Very few do. People need to know how serious it is to be lost, and yet no one talks about it. You don't want to go to church and hear how that you are lost and that you sin and that you don't. You go to church to enjoy the music. You go to church. That's what the understanding of church these days is. Why? Because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That's why we must talk about the lost. God Himself came to this earth to save the lost. And we don't talk about it. What does it mean to be lost? It's a good question. What do you mean I'm lost? I'm not lost. I'm just confused. Well, that's what you think. Yes, to be lost is to be without hope. But before that, let me just Ephesians 2:12 says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship, without hope and without God in the world. To be spiritually lost is to be without hope. And if you say this world is full of hope, and if you say today that there is no hopelessness, you live in another world. Look what happened yesterday in Syria. Look what's happening all around us. Look what happens here in Canada. Look, and there is hopelessness everywhere. And yet those who are filled with God's presence don't base their joy and happiness on worldly things, because these worldly things disappear very quickly. Yes, to be lost is to be without hope. This hope is not a I hope so hope, but it is I know so hope. We say, my only hope is this. And we don't mean my only I hope so hope is this, but we're saying that I know what is true. I know that this is going to work. That's why I'm saying this is my only hope. God is. The hope Christ is talking about has to do with our assurance of salvation. Now, if someone is not a Christian, if someone is not a believer, if someone doesn't believe in God, and if someone thinks that he is an accident, these words are empty to him. And yet if we claim, over 2 billion people claim to be Christians, and I believe most of those who claim to be Christians are lost emotionally, spiritually, in many ways, because they've been confused by the plethora of religious stuff that is being thrown at them. It is knowing that we were lost, but now we have been found. The hope Christ talks about has to do with our assurance of eternal life. This hope is a firm and sure hope. In Hebrews 6:19 we read, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Lost people have no prospect of heaven. And even though when their loved ones die, they borrow Christian terms and talk about hope, and seeing their loved ones again in their hearts, they are not sure. And you've been to funerals, I've been to funerals, and everyone repeats the same thing. Oh, he is in a better place. She is resting now. And we use all these Christian terms and we'll meet them again. And yet we really know that some of these people never believed in God, never cared about God. And those who say these things never care about spiritual growth or spirituality. Number one is to be lost, is to be spiritually without hope. Number two, to be lost is to be without God in the world. Without God in the world, it is an awesome thought. I've heard people who say that don't believe in God and even make fun of those who believe in Him, call His name when they face danger or when family problems bring them to despair. No, have you ever thought for a moment? I have in the past, and even today I can say that if I didn't believe in God, if I thought there was no God, no creator, no sustainer, I'd be very miserable. I don't know where I would be. And most people who even say I believe in a God, you have most of the world's population, people believe in a God or some gods or some higher authorities, and they all have this craving, this hope, this dream about something better than what they have. And they are lost in their religious desires. Their religious desires have confused them completely. And they're searching to find the truth. And the truth is becoming more difficult to find these days because of the complexities people and religious leaders have brought into our journey on this earth. Or when they are threatened with financial ruin, they call upon God. When they are facing serious surgery or other illnesses, they will call up. Why? Because the soul, the heart, is hungry, is empty. I mean, Pascal, and we have quoted this in our track, Pascal said, "In every human being, there is a God-shaped vacuum yearning to be filled." What it means is the only peace that will fill that emptiness is God Himself. And if we try to fill that hole with another god or other gods or with pleasure, it could be anything. It won't fit until that right peace comes in our life. That right peace is God who created us. Those who have rejected or ignored Jesus have nowhere to go. Apostle Paul asked Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" When Jesus said, "You want to go to?" Some of the followers of Jesus were leaving him because they figured, oh, he is not our true Messiah. He is not promising us this, promising us, he's not promising us that. So they were living. So Jesus said to Peter, you want to live too? And he said, Lord, where shall I go? You are the only one who has the words of life. How sad it is to be alone in times of trouble. Alone. Have you ever felt alone or lonely? Yes, you have a husband, you have a wife, you have children, you have grandchildren, you have friends, you have big screen televisions, flat screen televisions, and you've got all the equipment you need, and you have all the food you need, and you have all the entertainment you need, you want, I should say, not need. And yet, you feel so lonely. And if you say, I never felt that way, that will mean you've been blessed. And yet, if you really take a moment, you'll see that you have felt lonely. Number three, to be lost is to be without eternal life. In 1 John 5:12, we read, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Life here is short at its longest. We live only an average of 70 to 80 years. Medical science still can't extend life for very long, but Jesus offers eternal life. In John 3:16, we read, He said, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word, that's the next verse I want to quote, but right now I want to quote John 3:16, which says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, for whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Perish means lost. In Armenian, it's gorsavi, chigorsavi, habahavidaragangyangprana, not be lost, but have eternal life. In Greek is namina polesti, which means not get lost, but have eternal life. Apolia means loss. The next verse I want to quote is John 5:24. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Now, who can fathom eternity? Have you ever thought of eternity? I have, and that has been a torture for me. Every time since childhood, I thought of eternity and infinity, I would start sweating and my heart would palpitate because I could not fathom what is infinity. I would say, as a child, infinity is to go and go and go and go and go. I would repeat that million times and still I could go. I would start sweating. Eternity. What is eternity? 1 year, 10 years, zillion years, whatever years and will continue. You start sweating. And yet, we don't know how we will feel after death. Just yesterday, on CJED, someone said, we'll have a guest, we'll be talking about life after death. More and more people now are interested in life after death. More and more people are interested. They've been interested all the time about eternal life, and yet they've been looking at the wrong places, they've been knocking at the wrong doors, they've been eating the wrong information that was given to you, to them, because Jesus said, I am at the door and knock. It's not where we knock, it's how we answer to the knock at our door, spiritual door. John Newton's Amazing Grace, one of the most popular songs, says, when we have been there 10,000 years, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. You know, this is a very popular, everyone sings it, believers, unbelievers, deaths, funerals, wedding, Amazing Grace. Do you have the assurance of eternal life? The Bible says we are all sinners. Romans 6:23. Lost, separated from God with no hope. That is why Jesus came and died on the cross, even though we were sinners. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He came to bring hope and assurance of salvation. He came to bring eternal life, but also peace and meaning to life. He came for you and me. Will you come to Him now? Will you let Him find you and give you life, real life? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are reaching out to You as human beings, and we're basing our religious desires on man-made things. And yet we know that before we even try to reach out to You, You have reached down to us, and You have offered everything we will ever need: peace, joy, serenity, and eternal life. And forgiveness. Thank You, Lord. And we ask You this morning to be with us, strengthen us spiritually, and touch our hearts and minds. In Your blessed name I pray. Amen.